Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole.
Whoa, I started it again. Started the theme song again, Mason.
Whoa. Now is this going in?
No, this is all gone. You wouldn't leave something this unprofessional in.
Very true.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Great to be here. Always professional. That's right. That's what they say. Okay. The microphone has been moved closer to my mouth, so the listeners can, in fact, hear me as I speak.
Yes. Mason, it's a big news week, isn't it?
But I would say that's probably the intern's fault for not moving the microphone.
Mason, it's a big news week.
It's a big news week.
Yes, it is the intern's fault.
Yes, that's right.
Is that me also? Am I the intern?
Ah, gosh, look, you've put me in a spot here, James, by asking me to elaborate on the thing I've said. It's quite early in the morning over here.
Yeah.
Weekly Planet podcast land, and I do not have the mental capacity to imagine whether that is you or if we have invented a new intern.
Yeah, it's a new bit of law that we have to adhere to.
Is there a guy?
Yeah.
You know.
Let's just say there's a guy.
Yeah, let's say there's a guy, let's invent him as the episode progresses. Or we get into the news and we forget about it.
Yeah.
And then we get tweets later, people being like, what was the deal with the intern guy? And we'll be like, what are you talking about? We don't know.
We don't have any interns.
Yeah.
Anyways, Mason.
How dare you, sir?
News of the week.
Yes, I'm loving it.
Death of a comic book legend.
Oh, I'm not loving that.
No, not loving that either. We've got Game of Thrones news. We've got Squid Game news. We've got Knives Out news.
Is this Mr. Beast? Has Mr. Beast done something?
No, he hasn't done something. I mean, he's always doing something, hasn't done this particular thing. A new Disney Plus Marvel series. Another live-action Disney remake.
Ooh.
What's this one? One Punch Man, Joker 2 news. And then, of course, we're going to talk about Pixar's latest Lightyear.
I mean, that's all very exciting, but I'm thrilled to be talking about Joker 2 news, but I'm glad you left it towards the end.
Yeah, let's keep
let's
it
have a big build to
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Now up top we're going to because it gets louder and louder every week, cover the Ezra Miller situation.
Mm.
This isn't something that I want to be doing updates on about what have they done this week, oh my goodness, et cetera. But I feel like several things happened this week and it'd be weird if I just completely ignored it like some companies do.
There's been a real snowball of a situation here.
Yeah. So basically one of the latest accusations is that they supplied drugs and alcohol to a minor. This accusation comes via the minor's parents. They met this person when they were 23 and the minor was 12. Ooh. And in 2017, Ezra is said to have supplied this person with alcohol, marijuana, and LSD. This person has refuted the accusations that the parents have made.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's three parties here involved with
yes.
this. Okay, right.
The authorities then were looking for Ezra Miller, who disappeared.
Their social media disappeared.
That's
also,
right. But that wasn't before posting things like, "You cannot touch me, I am in another universe." And other cryptic messages.
Incredible plugging for the Flash movie. Coming
I agree.
Soon from Warner Brothers and DC Media something, whatever they're called.
There was also another incident that was reported. It was a bizarre and aggressive situation involving a family and a board game. And I guess the reason I bring all of this up is also because Warner Brothers and DC have just not acknowledged it yet again.
Wild, isn't it?
I mean, maybe there's still, you know, because there's such a buffer zone between this and that Flash movie.
Yeah. Oh, because it's like, not coming out for...
like end of next year, maybe, mid-next year. Okay. I don't know. So they are hoping
that the situation will diffuse itself.
Or they'll think of something.
They'll think of something, exactly. That's what you want. You want someone to think of something. Maybe somebody that isn't them.
Exactly. You know? So
maybe Henry Cavill will step
maybe
in.
Maybe he will think of
and
something.
And provide some words of wisdom, you know?
Yeah, so look...
Henry, why aren't you doing more to save the DC Universe?
Obviously, it's a very troubling situation. I think there's still a chance that I don't think they'll shelve the Flash, but they'll do something to alter it.
Yeah, but
it'd be a lot to replace two people that they're playing in the Flash as well.
Yeah, right. Uh huh.
So I don't know.
But there is 100% a conversation in the Warner Brothers offices where they've put the timeline for the movie, like the narrative on the movie, on a big board, and they're like, what can we chop out of this?
Mm.
Can we make this a Batman movie or a Supergirl movie? Yeah. Or, you know. And I mean, as we've previously mentioned, you know, they did it with Army of the Dead. They completely replaced one character.
But that was like a minor character in a handful of scenes.
Yeah,
this is a different situation. I think also, I guess here's me solving your problem, Warner Brothers. You're not listening to this, obviously, but if you just acknowledged that, you know, this is not reflective of the values of the company, we still made this product and we're proud of it and the other people that are in it, we don't want this to tarnish the legacy of everybody involved.
Yeah, right.
Like even something like that would be better than nothing.
Literally nothing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, other people are in and involved in this movie. So,
yeah,
you know, but anyway.
And including, you know, there's the new Supergirl who
presumably
would like to debut in a way, like the actor presumably would like to debut in a way that you know, is positive and not surrounded by controversy and they don't want to be involved in a big box office disaster or anything. So,
and Michael Keaton probably doesn't care. He's so rich and he probably got even more money, so much money for this.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's like, whatever.
Oh, it's not coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
I thought it was out. Okay. Cool, man. In other bad news, Tim Sale has passed away at age 66.
Long-time DC artist responsible for The Long Halloween.
Yeah. Got a few titles here. This is a select few, but like Spider-Man Blue, Daredevil Yellow, Superman for All Seasons. Like just incredible work. This is the official statement via @artbysale on twitter.com, Mason. Says, it's with heavy sadness that I must announce that Tim Sale passed away today. He passed with the love of his life beside him and loves all of you very much. This is also off the back of him being hospitalized 3 days before his death, and it sounded pretty serious then. Mm. So, yeah, it didn't look good at that point, but boo, that sucks. Yeah, he's great.
Definitely check out all his work. I think, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure there's a collected edition. I mean, there's The Long Halloween, certainly.
Yeah, they're always bundling them all together in various digital and physical media packs, which you should definitely check out.
DC used to have a series called Solo.
You think you're Han Solo, are you?
No, James.
He's not in the DC universe,
oh,
is he?
Oh, James. There was a series called Solo, which was it was a 12-issue maxi series where they just got a bunch of creators, each one got an issue, and they could just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So there was like a Darwin Cook one, which was really good. I think perhaps there was not a – oh, no, Solo number one. Tim Sale, Darwin Cook, Dave Stewart. Check that one out. That's a good like.
Okay.
That's as close as like a DC gets to like indie.
So when you said that thing.
Yes.
You had an idea in your mind that was real.
I did.
Like,
it
wasn't
true,
just a thing you made up. And is this a thing? This really came good.
Yeah.
That's great.
I know, right? That's good for my, you know. My whole brain situation.
Next
time
you go to do that, you'll be like, I nailed it that last time, so yeah. I'm gonna go for this.
And it will have never existed, whatever the thing is. Here's some news, James.
Okay.
Speaking of great art.
One bit of news?
Did you know this?
Is this your one
this
bit
is my
of
one
news?
Bit of news. The iconic cover for The Dark Knight Returns in the last couple of days sold for $2.4 million, the original artwork.
That's too much.
So it is too much. So this is, for people who don't know, this is Frank Miller and his wife at the time, Lynn Varley, made this. It's a super iconic image. You've seen it on posters. You've seen it on T-shirts.
You've seen it in other superheroes doing it on comic book covers.
You've seen me. I've got a version of the Tick on a T-shirt doing the same.
I've seen it. You saw me
specifically? Might have seen it.
I don't think I have seen it.
But it's the iconic image of the Batman leaping through the air in silhouette. There's a lightning bolt behind him. And, $2.4 million. through Heritage Art. This was like yesterday.
So this wasn't – did Frank Miller own this? Who owned this?
It was originally owned by Lynn Varley like years ago. I think she got it.
Okay.
In the divorce.
Oh, nice.
And it's been bought and sold a number of times. But currently the person who sold it and the person who bought it are both unknown.
Okay.
So who knows? But it's interesting because if you
It was Nick Cage.
It might have been
Nick Cage. Both of them were Nick Cage.
Well, here's some rumors. There's no room. Here's a clue that it might be Nick Cage. If you go to the Heritage Auction page for the exact thing, it's the auction is over, but there's a little button that where the new owner is accepting offers.
Oh.
So like immediately you can be like, If you're a listener of the Weekly Planet and you're like, oh, damn, I've missed out on that, you can simply click the button and they're accepting a minimum offer of $3.8 million.
A minimum offer?
So if you want, if you're like, they're contemplating selling it instantly.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy that and you want to give them nearly $4 million for that one single piece that you can just look at on the internet if
Do
you really
I
want.
Do I want $4 million? Is that what you're asking me?
What have you?
Wait, I have to.
You
pay.
Have to pay that.
Oh,
yes.
I thought it was like, do you want this?
No.
Oh, okay. It's early, Mason.
It is very early.
No, that's not what I thought. Yeah. That was an attempt at something. There was nothing.
That's very good.
Yeah.
So Miller said of this. So yeah, this is the highest price for like a single piece of art ever.
I'm sorry. Not like a not,
comic book art.
Yeah. Okay.
Not real art.
I'm like
sorry.
What?
Sorry, not real art. Certainly no. No.
Yeah. Okay. Not a Picasso.
No, but
not a Mona Lisa.
No, not the Mona Lisa. The previous record is the cover for Batman 251 by Neil Adams, the late Neil Adams, which went for $600,000. So this is absolutely blown
What's
it out
Batman
of the water.
What's Batman 251? Is that an iconic cover? I assume.
I think it's Batman. Look, if I had to guess off the top of my head, I would say
it's the Joker and he's
yeah,
holding
it's
a big card.
Yeah, the Five-Way Revenge one. That's that was sort of the. It's from the 70s, and it's like the return of the Joker to like being the murderous madman.
Oh, okay.
Like,
because
for years and years, the Comics Code Authority prevented him from doing any real good murders.
Mm.
But you've seen that on a T-shirt, Elsa.
Yeah, absolutely. Comics Code Authority were doing a better job than bloody Batman, am I right?
Yeah. He's
giving the bloody kid crime off the street,
right.
et cetera.
Mm.
Well, that's great stuff.
Yeah, but anyway, Miller said of the piece of artwork, this is some time ago, I was finding my identity as an artist, and to me, the silhouette is the most important language of that. When you can convey in silhouette, sorry, what you can convey in silhouette is going to impact the minds and the emotions more intensely than anything else. I got a knack for silhouettes, and if you want a real nice rendering of something, I am not your guy. I'm just not good at it, but I can punch out a kick-ass silhouette. And he's right. Like,
yeah, I agree with that.
Sin City is based almost entirely on
it's
like,
all silhouette.
Iconic
it's all shadows and silhouettes.
Recognizable silhouettes. So, yeah, that's
can you recognize that hat and chin? That's Sin City, isn't it?
That's true.
Hat
yeah.
or chin.
Hat or chin.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the yellow guy. Is it a hat or a chin? Yep, it's this guy. Is it the yellow guy? Is that guy yellow? It's the yellow
it's
guy.
It's the yellow guy, yeah. Oh, there you go.
But anyway, I'm just going to say, I guess the option is always there to like resell the thing, but it kind of feels a bit sad that this person's bought this and they're immediately like, but if someone wants
but
to
do
pay.
You want it?
Do you want to pay more for it though? Because I will immediately and instantly sell this if you give me $4 million for it.
It also sounds to me like, maybe they don't have that much money.
Oh, maybe.
Like
that's
they put
true,
a lot
yeah.
into this.
There's also like, I believe.
I mean, obviously enough money to buy this.
Yeah. There's also been, I think, in recent years, it's comic book art and it's also and comic book collectible issues and also collectible video games. There is some sort of weird mark. There's some sort of weird market
of
like
yeah.
pumping
We've
up.
About it.
Yeah, like pumping up the values of things and, you know, people selling it and they've got a shell account and they buy it for a huge amount of money and then they're like, well, look, it's sold for $1 million.
That's what these are worth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas it is just people buying and reselling the same thing to themselves. So who knows what this is.
This is Beanie Babies is what you're telling me.
This iconic cover of Batman The Dark Knight Returns is in fact Beanie Babies.
Terrific. I love Beanie Babies.
Yeah, me too.
Mason, this is via The Hollywood Reporter. HBO has entered into early development.
The way you pronounce that, I'm imagining it's...
It's a different website, yeah.
It's Hollywood, W-O-U-L-D. It's just a guy...
Hollywood, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's stuff a guy reckons should probably happen in Hollywood.
HBO has entered into early development on its first sequel to...
Game of Thrones.
That's right, Mason.
Yeah, I remember the setup from earlier.
A live-action spin-off series centered on Jon Snow.
Ooh.
On Jon Snow, as played by Kit Harington.
My goodness.
This is
still got that juice off Eternals.
Yeah, this is sooner than I thought, because as soon as this ended, I'm like, this is This is just has a, like, it's just waiting for a sequel.
Right.
But so does that mean they're not going to look at all the other characters? I'm assuming they're going to slowly kind of filter them back into the universe, the ones that aren't dead.
Is this an X-Men Origins Wolverine? Like, they're going to, we're going to spin off all the characters. Oh, this one didn't do well, so never again, quite frankly.
When did the last one end? Was it 2019? Yeah, it was 2019, so it's three. God, that just happened.
The year 2019. Yeah. Sure did, James. Sure did. We're still in 2019 now.
As far as I'm aware.
And everything is fine.
Yeah. So they've got the prequel series coming, probably various anime. George R. R. Martin hasn't and won't release another book.
He's too busy Scrooge McDuckin' it in his big money bin. Why wouldn't you? He's got a big red and white striped bathing suit on and he keeps diving into his money bin.
What are you excited for this?
Nope.
See, I'm more interested in this than I am the
House of the Dragon, the
prequel. Yeah. I mean, that's because, like, I don't know anybody in the prequel. Like, you know, I know Kit Harington. I know
his
character.
Okay, now when they say it's a Jon Snow spin-off, is that cover for we want to do more Game of Thrones and everybody who is still alive in Game of Thrones is going to be in this, but if we call it Game of Thrones, that's home box office poison, as it were, because people were like, we got really badly burned with Game of Thrones. So
maybe it's
like, I mean, it could very well be, you know, a production team or the studio, and they saw what the last season of Game of Thrones turned into and went, we can fix this sort of maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But if we call it Game of Thrones season 8.
Game of Thrones, we can fix this, we think.
If they call this Game of Thrones season 8 or whatever season we're up to, people will be like, no, thank you. But if we go Jon Snow, people will go,
I know Jon Snow.
That's right. That guy sucks.
But I think
he didn't even get to be the king.
No, he didn't. It's
the other guy.
He stabbed his wife and he left or whatever happened at the end of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, some of his sisters are alive. True. Peter Dinklage is alive.
Bran is still alive.
Bran is still the king or whatever. Davros is still around. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And the Daleks.
Yes, that's right. I think it's all I think this is just let's see what we can bring back and restart this.
And again, it might also be a season of Jon Snow, and then he's like, I'm off in the wilderness and I'm going to meet all sorts of new characters, and then he's like, and I'm cold and tired of this, and I'm coming back to Westeros, and look, it's all my old friends.
Yeah.
It's whoever agreed to return. It's whoever was in the New Mutants and that didn't work out, and they're coming back for a...
Yeah, whoever tried for a franchise and has to come back. That includes me, because I was in the Eternals. Now he's going to be in more stuff, isn't he? Dane Whitman. I know he also hated having long hair, so I wonder whether that'll be a condition.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had to keep his hair long for 10 years.
100%, because they'll have a dramatic he's cutting his hair off scene.
Yeah.
A la the final season of Highlander the series.
Oh, my God.
Or possibly the second last, and he carried it on to the final season.
Carried his hair.
In a bag, yes. To the final Made the series. Sword fighting really difficult.
I bet it did.
Hey, can I just set my bag of hair down here before we do a duel?
You're not talking about Connor McLeod, are you?
No, I'm talking about Duncan McLeod.
Connor McLeod sometimes has long hair, does he, depending on the era?
Yes, he does, James. Wow, that's great. That is very correct.
I'm also thinking about...
You're up on your Highlander lore, which is determining when and where all the characters have long or short hair, yes.
Speaking of sequel series, or next series, Squid Game Season 2, you probably saw, is officially moving ahead.
Uh-huh. Depending
on the, I mean, we knew this.
But it's the now two official. Guys that are still alive from the previous season, sure.
Depending on when the production starts, which presumably it has, a lot of the early stuff has been done, it's probably going to be next year. But on top of this, this is via Netflix's VP of Unscripted and Documentary Series, Brandon Rye, who says, Squid Games took the world by storm.
Did he say Squid Games?
No, that was me. Okay. With the,
I don't even know what this franchise is called. Squid Games? I don't know.
Octopus
Friends?
With director Huang's...
Calamari charms over here.
With director Huang's captivating story and iconic imagery, we're grateful for his support. And as we turn the fictional world into reality in this massive competitive and social experiment.
Yes.
Fans of the drama.
The machine is eating itself.
Fans of the drama series are in for a fascinating and unpredictable journey as our 456 real world contestants navigate the biggest competition series ever, full of tension and twists, with the biggest ever cash prize at the end.
Please note, all contestants will be shot in the head.
Do you think?
First of all, I love that they're canceling everything else.
Yeah.
And like, they did a huge purge of like writers and production
animation. They killed basically all the animation.
And they're just like, you know, we can turn that into big cash prize.
Squid Game cash prize. Maybe some of the writers can be in the Squid Game.
Oh, that would be perfect. That would be.
Because that's capitalism, Mason.
That's the perfect dystopia. Just half of them are fired Netflix writers. Just. But what's fascinating? I mean, if you haven't seen Squid Game, and of course you can't have because it's a Netflix show that was only surpassed in ratings by Red Notice, a movie that everybody on Earth has seen 1,000 times. But it's a show. It's the premise is that if you lose Squid Game, you get you just play child's games,
yeah.
And then if you lose, you get killed. But nobody's getting killed in this, right? No. Unless by accident.
Yeah, but that would be thrilling.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. And also, Mr. Beast did this. I don't know if you saw the video.
Yeah,
it's got like 450 million views or whatever.
Yeah.
But Netflix would have definitely looked at that and gone, okay, yeah, we're gonna do it. Imagine Mr. Beast is like, I'm going to build a real Netflix recreation of the Squid Games Netflix recreation.
See, that's what I'm loving, James. I'm loving this. Is it some sort of Ouroboros? Is it the snake eating its own tail? Probably not, but let's call it that. Let's see if we can get that going.
Yeah. Would you do this show? If you for some reason got the opportunity to go on it, would you do it?
James, sometimes like you might go out, maybe there's a picnic in a park or something like that, and then there's like you park your car and then there's a fence.
Yeah.
To go into the park area to go have your picnic,
mm.
I'll walk along the fence to find the lowest bit in the fence to walk up, to step over.
Yeah,
like I won't.
What if you can't?
I'll just leave. What I'm saying
you
is
won't
my
struggle through the
no.
But the thing about okay, here's the other thing about Netflix.
Or I'll just wait for the gap in the fence and I'll walk through the.
Yeah, so no. I totally...
What I'm saying is my it's not really a fitness thing. It's more of a motivation thing. I'm like
okay,
I cannot
because also it's not a very like it's not always a physical competition.
That's true. Yeah.
And here's the other thing: a lot of these games aren't very interesting if you're not going to shoot someone in the head at the end.
Right.
Like they fall through the floor. Or whatever. Take a honeycomb and. Like chip it, like that's boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it'll just be people going, "Oh, I broke it."
Mm.
Oh well, see ya.
Yeah.
Also, is it gonna be
just walk out through that door? You'll be in the car park.
Yes. Also, is it because you know part of the tension of Squid Game is that all the characters have some great motivation for being there, and we meet them and we learn their backstories.
Exactly.
And we go, oh, they really need that money or they, you know, are they going to add that element? Probably.
I think so.
There'll be, I guess the tension will be sad backstory and not being shot in the head. So.
Exactly. I was one of the writers in Santa Clarita Diet, and I'm here, the one that got cancelled, Mason.
Oh, I see what's happening there. Okay,
I'm
right.
I'm doing a character.
I love that. Yeah, that was very good.
The character is that they're just a normal person.
Terrific.
With my voice. Mm. Terrific. So there you go. Anyway, I'm very excited to probably not watch this, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the Mr. Beast video either. Like I watched it and I'm like, yeah, no, okay. Like it's very impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I'm like, I don't care about this. Yeah.
Would you say it was? Because the thing about the original production of Squid Game is that the games were not... Like we've said, they weren't like spectacular. It's not like you're leaping from a tower that's 1,000 feet high or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like moderately exciting setups like Ninja Warrior or whatever.
Yeah.
Was Mr. Beast on that level? Like was he exactly
Yeah, it was
the same?
I mean, I know he CGI'd some like, you know, the bit with the rope pull. Like he CGI'd it to make it look taller and whatever.
I see, right. Yeah. So do you think Netflix they'll surpass that? Do you think there'll be new games?
I think there would have to be new games because otherwise, again, this is boring. Mm. It's a boring show. Do you think there'll be some underhanded like situations going on?
Maybe there'll be underhanded.
Because there have to be underhanded situations, right? You got to build in all the elements. Yeah.
Do you think the final game will still, in fact, be Squid Game, a game that is largely nonsensical to non-Korean audiences?
Jump into your one foot.
You have to run one way and then you have to
switch
feet.
You're in a circle or a square.
Do you think they'll just swap in that? They'll probably just swap in that game from Gladiators where you've just got the big pommel and you hit each other with it.
I think Mr. Beast swapped it for like musical chairs or something,
okay,
I want to say.
Right.
But I can't remember.
I mean, that's not crazy. That makes a lot of sense in that it's like if you're an American audience or if you're even American players, you don't care about The fun of it is you're like, oh, this is a kid's game, but it's there's so much money at stake. Or
if
whatever.
It was down ball, I would win, Mason.
Yeah, you reckon you could
get to the end and I'd do a big down ball serve.
What? I'm sure they did this, but did Twitter do Australian Squid Game games? Like what it would be?
Probably. And it was like, get a meat pie from the pub or whatever.
Sure.
You know, Australian stuff.
Sure. I mean, and that would be quite difficult insofar as you can't really get a meat pie at the pub.
Not really.
Very difficult, actually. Convince the chef at the RSL to make you a pie.
They might have some pie. You might get a pie and a salad, Mason.
I get. Yeah, maybe if there's a special on.
RSL menu. But it won't.
Maybe there'd be a pie. It'd be one of those pies that's just like a dish with meat in it and they pie the top.
No, they'll just get some frozen pies in. That's how they
that
do
would
it.
Be bad, yeah.
Okay. No, I'm looking at here at the mains. Mm-hmm. It's not looking good, Mason. Mm. Let me check. Porterhouse steak, you got your beef burger, obviously. You got your Thai grilled beef salad, which nobody ever orders. No pie.
Wow.
Incredible. There's three Thai items.
Well, that's Squid Game, baby.
That is Squid Game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a Thai squid salad. So there you go.
Perfect.
Mason.
Yes.
Knives Out 2 has a title.
Glass Onion, right?
Oh, it's called Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery.
I guess I was wrong.
You were. The cast includes Daniel Craig, Edward Norton, Janelle Monáe, Catherine Hahn, Kate Hudson, Ethan Hawke, Dave Bautista, among many others.
Yeah. And Daniel Craig.
I mentioned him up top, Mason.
No, you did. It's true. And presumably Ana de Armas is probably
I don't think she is. That's I think wild. She's living in that mansion or whatever.
She's probably living in that mansion. But I think Look, and far be it from me to be like, Rian Johnson, you don't know how to write. But like...
Yeah. But go on.
Well, Rian Johnson, I think you missed a trick. Like, why wouldn't they be a detective team up?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a surprise. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe she'll pop in for a little cameo. But that's, again...
He knows what he's doing.
Great cast.
Yeah.
That's good. I saw a lot of people being like, this is a real step down from the last cast. And it's like, I don't think it is.
I don't think so.
I think you, like.
Because you saw it and you're like, that what a those, great cast.
Yeah,
it
like
well together.
You know, I think Don Johnson was really good in it. But if somebody said, Don Johnson's going to be in this, I'd be like, is that exciting to me? He's not like the A-list. He's not Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? He's just, you know, he was just good in the movie. So I think anyone and anybody could be good in this.
I completely agree, Mason.
I don't know. Does Janelle Monáe do a lot of acting?
I guess.
Great.
Let me check.
Because she's a singer, James.
Yes, no, I know. I'm just checking if she's got any.
Okay.
She was in Antebellum.
Oh.
She was in Moonlight.
Oh.
I haven't seen Moonlight, Mason.
I also haven't seen Moonlight.
We should watch Moonlight. And then be like, ooh, that's good. That's a good movie. Good.
She'll be good in Glass Onion, at least.
There you go.
What I did notice is the Glass Onion font is the Chinatown font.
From the movie Chinatown.
The movie Chinatown.
Never seen Chinatown.
It's a good movie.
But I have seen its sequel.
Double Chinatown.
Yeah. Two Chinatowns?
Two Chinatowns.
In this economy?
Across from each other on the beach? Which one do you go to? Basic economic question.
In the second Chinatown, does he still have the thing on his nose?
No, he doesn't still have the
thing. I just thought they might have been like,
no.
Is it Roman Polanski again, the second one?
The Two Jakes. I don't think it is. I'll check.
Yeah.
I'll check. You've seen the Two Jakes.
I've never
Jakes.
Seen any of the okay, right. Chinatowns I was gonna say, right. movies, though.
Neither of the Chinatowns movies. Directed by Jack Nicholson. There you go.
Whoa, really?
There you go. All right.
Apparently it's okay.
Yeah, it would be okay, yeah.
There you go, 1990. There you go. Fun stuff.
The year 1990, can you imagine it?
Yeah. Yep. I think about it all the time. Mason, this is by THR.
Yes.
There's a Wonder Man series in development.
Wonder Man.
So this is developed by Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings director, Destin Daniel Cretton. Mm-hmm. It's now Wonder Man.
Go on.
He was played by Nathan Fillion in a Guardians 2 deleted scene.
Oh, that's right.
And we can see some posters in the background of maybe that movie and some others where that actor, Simon Williams.
Simon Williams, yes.
Is playing like Tony Stark in a Steve Jobs-esque.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, so Wonder Man in the comic books is an actor and then he got sort of powerfully irradiated by something and he's sort of an energy being.
Yep.
So, yeah, cool. Has little belt rockets, lets him fly.
That's fun. Mm. It's also said via Variety that it's a Hollywood satire.
Okay, though, that makes sense.
This is not 100% confirmed, they also say.
Mm.
So is this a Nathan Fillion situation?
Nathan Fillion joint, perhaps
he
is.
Or do you think they're going to recast this role that – I mean, people are mad on Nathan Fillion, though. You know, he's got a very vocal fan base.
It is wild that – I mean, has he ever been actually cast in the role that fans want him to be in? Because he wasn't
– He wasn't Nathan Drake,
although he's in that fan film that people like.
Yep. He wasn't another thing, was he? Another thing that he wanted.
Oh, definitely, he wasn't another thing that he wanted to be in. I don't know. Does he? I mean, again, beloved. I guess. And I mean, if it's a TV show, he's a, you know.
Yeah. He's in that The Rookie or whatever.
Oh yeah,
that's a popular show.
He was in Castle for 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in Firefly. Remember that show?
He was in Firefly.
Is that coming back?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. If we just a few more signatures, and we're going to get that. We're going to get off the ground. Yeah, but Wonder Man is sort of, you know, Wonder Man, I believe, was originally intended to be a parody of Wonder Woman.
Okay. So, well, that's very clever.
He's very clever.
How'd they think of that?
Well, Stan Lee's just good with the ideas,
He's zipping and he's zapping, isn't he? Well, he was. He's dead now. Wow. So there you go. Wonder Man TV series. Why not? Let's go.
James, here we go. Here's the origin of Wonder Man. You ready for this?
I am.
As with a lot of famous heroes and men, his origin is all to do with embezzlement.
Mm-hmm.
He's the son of rich industrialist Sanford Williams. He embezzles money. He goes to jail. He blames Tony Stark for some reason.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then Zemo, Baron Zemo,
yeah,
he puts him in an experiment and he's transformed into an ion-powered being with ionic powers. So maybe Zemo will be in this.
Maybe Zemo will be in it.
Or they just will make it a different guy.
Yeah, they could make it a different guy.
Because that actor might be too expensive now.
So, yeah. I think he'll do it.
Sure.
That's fine.
Yeah.
They put all the money into the acting and the volume, and then they put stacks and boxes up, and it's fine.
It's true.
So they do it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Baby. There you go. Okay.
And his brother is the Grim Reaper as well.
Not the actual Grim Reaper.
No. He's just a guy with a scythe arm.
Right. Okay. Oh, yeah. And he spins, he can fly.
He's got
with
a helicopter scythe arm.
We fought
He's
him
in that video game.
Video game that we did that time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mason,
go on.
This next bit of news is via Deadline.
Ooh.
And let me just preface this by saying, what's your favorite Guy Ritchie live-action Disney remake?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, probably Aladdin, because that's the only one I can think of
currently.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, well, is that about to change? Is the hierarchy of my favorite Guy Ritchie-produced live-action remake about to change?
It might, because Guy Ritchie is making the live-action remake of Hercules with the Russo brothers producing.
Whoa.
This is on the tail end of like the Disney Renaissance era.
It was
this and Tarzan, and then it all fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
There's still obviously good stuff after that. Treasure Planet, for one, Mason, is an incredible movie.
I've heard that.
what do you think of that?
Great.
What does Guy Ritchie think of it?
In it?
Yep. That's what he's probably thinking and saying to himself.
No, I think he's posh, actually.
Do you think
I guess I'd say he's posh.
Oh, he's just pretending.
Yeah.
It's good acting. So there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. He'll make this and then he can make four movies about a guy who shoots people in a pub or whatever.
Pub shooter.
He's got a pub shooter. So there you go. That's going to be something.
Bloke wants a pie. You can't get a pie in a pub. Maybe you can in the UK.
I don't know.
You get a Scotch egg.
What about
James, when's the last time you had a Scotch egg?
Never in my life.
Really? They're great.
Well, are they?
Yes.
What? Explain the process.
It's an egg.
Yep.
It's a soft-boiled egg.
Yep. Love that.
And then it's got sausage meat. It's surrounded in sausage meat.
Do they take the shell off?
They do take the shell off, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's right.
What? And then they put in sausage meat.
Sausage meat. And then they bread it and they fry it, yeah.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah, they are. I love them.
It sounds like a...
Hard to get them in Melbourne.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
I can make one myself, but I want to.
You can't get them in an RSL.
Because if I learned to make them at home, I'd have two a day until I died.
Which would be next week.
Be next week, yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Wow. Do you like One Punch Man?
Yes.
Did you watch the second season?
Yes.
Yeah, I started it and then something happened.
Okay.
I think something, like I had to open a window in my house and I did it and I came back and the TV had gone to when it goes to like a weird mode when you step away for too long.
Is your TV haunted, James?
Yeah, it's haunted.
You know when you go to open a window and then, because that window is just, I thought it was closed, but the window was open weirdly. So I went over to close the window. Then I came back to the TV and there was just a void there.
Yeah.
And voices.
And
I don't know.
And it said, boo.
Well.
Wait, is that booing me or is it a ghost?
Probably both.
Okay. So it's trying to scare me, but it doesn't matter. Anyways, I haven't finished One Punch Man season 2, but I really enjoyed season 1. But the writers of Venom and Jumanji, The Next Level, Scott Rosenberg and Jeff Pinker will be writing One Punch Man with director Justin Lin attached.
Ooh.
Of course, recently left Vin Diesel in his dust.
Ooh!
Because he left for Fast and Furious. So obviously there's no bad blood in Hollywood towards this guy.
No, evidently not.
Evidently
not. So. But I mean, this brings up the question once again, who do you cast as One Punch Man? Do you get a very handsome man and shave their head?
Yep.
Do you get Michael Cera,
mm-hmm.
who's also handsome but in a different way? But like you need a like a
– I think you have to go Asian as well.
That's probably true also, yes.
What's who's the guy who plays Randall Park?
Randall Park.
Yeah, that guy.
He's too handsome.
Is he? With a shaved head?
Oh, great question.
Yeah.
Can you Google bald Randall Park and see if somebody's done it?
Hang on. Let me just check who plays Randall Park.
Okay, great.
I really like
is it. Is it the actor Randall Park?
Actually, it's not. That's interesting. He's not bald. He's never been bald for, even for a second,
that's
this guy.
Not even if
I've got him in a hat here.
See,
but
I figured somebody would have photoshopped it. So
yeah, but he's not. What I mean, like,
can you do that face app thing and make him bald?
I can actually.
Let's
yes.
do it later.
I'll do
later.
It. I'll do it during the show,
I'll
and then
the
I'll
show,
do it.
And then okay. we can be like, quick Randall Park fantasy bald casting update. There he is. We could say.
All right, I'm gonna do it. But I just like again, like I cannot stress this enough. Very handsome man.
Yeah, I know.
But by normal standards, but by Hollywood standards, he's not like Keanu Reeves, for example.
Oh.
Because he was in that movie with Keanu Reeves.
Because I feel like the whole premise, do we ever see One Punch Man pre?
Yeah, he's got hair.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he needs to be somebody completely unassuming, like the most average looking man.
Yeah.
But that's not how Hollywood ever casts anything.
No, exactly. But
we know a lot of people who, you know, are comedians and they often go out for auditions. And often the audition brief is like a real slob, just a real 3 out of 10, just the
like
ugliest man
just
in the world.
Would eat out of a bin.
And anyway, we're bringing you in for this. And then they audition and then you just get a regular handsome guy to do it. Because they're like, oh, yeah, people have to look at this. People have to look at this person.
All right, there you go. One, I've done it.
Too handsome.
He is handsome, I know.
But no, I think that's...
But also, like, he's got a regular body, which is kind of like One Punch Man. Like, One Punch Man is ripped, but he's not giant.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
He looks good bald, though. I mean,
I agree.
Randall Park, if you're out there, I don't know if you're losing hair or what.
He doesn't look like he's losing hair at all.
If anything, he's gaining hair, but I'm just saying that's an option for you.
Yeah.
It's not a, I think
that's
it's
Randall Park with long hair. He looks good.
Whoa. Wow, he could be in a movie in the 70s. He could be one of the Anchorman news team guys.
He definitely
could. Yeah, I think he's got too much charisma, that guy.
You kind of need a – yeah, but – wouldn't you rather get a guy with too much charisma playing it straight,
yeah, I guess
deadpan,
I probably would,
and
yeah.
funny
yeah.
than a boring guy?
That's true,
That's not pleasant to watch.
A boring, unpleasant guy? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. No, you're probably right.
Anyway, just a thought.
Mm.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
I think it should be Randall Park.
Okay.
But I'm also open to whatever the person they've already got in mind.
Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah, perfect. Mm. Nothing would compare except for Randall Park, who I think would be amazing.
She can rip up a picture of the Pope in one punch.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Even if it's laminated?
Even if it's laminated.
Jesus.
Double laminated.
Double laminated?
Yes. In a frame.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mason?
Yes?
This is via deadline. No, I just did this bit. Mason, this is via THR. Last bit of news for the week.
I'm ready.
The Joker is back, and this time he's bringing a friend. Lady Gaga is in early talks to star opposite Joaquin Phoenix.
Is this true or is this just a legend?
This is true.
Okay.
In early talks.
Okay.
In director Todd Phillips' sequel to The Joker, the Oscar-winning $1 billion grossing movie, et cetera and so forth. If the deal goes forward, it's said that Gaga will play Harley Quinn.
Whoa.
But wait, that's not all, Mason.
And of course, because he was, if we recall, he was incarcerated in a mental institution at the end of the last one, presumably she'll be Harleen Quinzel.
That's right.
So this might be a movie that's set entirely in the mental hospital.
Or they'll get out and do crimes.
They'll get out and do
or
crimes.
Or afterwards they'll be like, did they even get out and do crimes? Or they never leave the hospital?
Yeah,
is this some kind of sick, twisted and shared fantasy? Mm. Sources say the sequel is also a musical.
Yes. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about this.
Yep.
Look, and they couldn't have – maybe this is true, maybe this is not true. Maybe they couldn't have kept it a secret forever. But yeah. I feel this feels to me like one of the greatest Hollywood missed opportunities of all time by telling people this in advance.
Okay, sure.
What if they didn't? And then everybody who loved Joker
– it's like everyone got Sweeney Todded.
Yeah.
Like, I love Johnny Depp, but I don't – what, this is a musical? Because none of the trailers are
– Yeah.
A lot of them weren't
But
musicals.
Just imagine if everybody went in
– Yeah.
And he was like – and Joker was like, oh, I feel like we live in a society and I'm so tired of – I'm sick of this. I want to destroy the whole world. And then Harley's like, why don't you sing about it? And he's like, I will.
I'm doing it. I'll do it.
You know, that would be – that would – upset so many people. That's the most chaotic move I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely
like
right.
Like that. Has there ever been, I wonder, a movie that wasn't a musical and then the sequel was a musical? There's no way we'll be able to figure this out in the time allotted. But
did you say this to me the other day, or did somebody else say? I feel like I
people
heard
on
that
the internet
week,
may have
yeah.
people on the internet may have asked this.
How do I even Google this?
I don't know. That's the thing. The thing is, we'd need somebody who actually knows something about movies to
Where
know.
Where we even go for that?
Not us, certainly.
Because of the people I know in my regular life, that's us.
Alexi?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Is there time?
Yeah, text him.
Okay, hang on.
Can you text him?
Yeah, I will. Hang on.
Do you have his text number?
No, but I'll send him a tweet.
Send him a tweet. An open tweet?
No, I'll send him a...
I can put it in the Great Mates group.
Okay, sure.
Sequel that's not a music... Wait. Movie that's... Not a musical that's sequel is a musical. There we go.
Nice. Any results?
Just nonsense. No.
Okay.
This is a bad thing to Muppets? Are they all
I guess.
I don't know. I don't think this exists.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there'd be something where you'd be like, well, this has a musical number in it. But we're talking a flat out musical.
Uh-huh.
But is this a flat out musical? Or is it just like there's a couple of numbers in it? Because there's a difference.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah?
Exactly. There might be like one big musical number a la him dancing on the stairs in the first one, and it builds up to that set piece and maybe he sings, but maybe it's all a dream, James.
Exactly. I think some of this will be a dream, I think you'll find. Yeah. How'd the message sending going?
I've sent it.
Great. So now we just hold our breath.
Yeah, that's very true, yes.
And do the rest of the show.
Can you
do both? Can you hold your breath and do the rest of the show at the same
time?
Yeah,
I've got a circular breathing thing. I'll just talk through my
nose. That's not holding your breath though, is it?
I think it is.
Well, okay then. Mm. Mason, both of us saw a movie.
Yes.
Both of us saw a movie. It's called the movie Lightyear. It had a budget of $200 million.
I see that.
I guess.
Chris Evans is in it. So.
Yeah, I know, but like 200 for an animated movie? Is this the
is
most
that
expensive?
Not, is that not
is that, that
fairly
seems
standard?
Not, I think they're like 100 max normally, aren't
How
they?
Much was the last one? What was the last one? Turning Red. I'm going
to
look it up.
That went to Disney Plus, so I bet it wasn't.
Yeah, probably.
Let me check. I'm gonna beat you to it, Mason.
Okay, great.
Budget was $175 million. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is pretty standard, and that had not really anyone famous in it, did
That's
it?
True, yeah. I'm thinking this is – and, I mean, you know, production-wise.
Oh, yeah,
it looks amazing.
And all the armors look very, like, you know
– Tactile.
Tactile and
textured.
And thick.
They look – everyone's got a big, thick armor on.
They certainly do. Anyway, so – it's early days, but the box office domestically in the US is looking to be between 70 and 85 million, and the global start is being eyed at $135 million.
My goodness.
What do you think the story was?
Oh, James, let me tell you this. In 1995, a little boy named Andy, he went to see a movie.
Yep.
And after seeing the movie, he's like, oh, I love this movie. I'm going to get an action figure of this movie. Anyway, this is that movie, what he saw in the theaters, and he's like, and you look at this and you go, yeah, 6-year-old would love this movie, you know, just a sad, poignant tale about
confusing time travel,
about loss, and about, you know, the world passing you by because you're obsessed with your work, and it's just the movie Interstellar, but it's animated. It's a real Christopher Nolan's buzzkill light year is what this movie is. Now, here's the thing that I have been holding off on asking you.
Okay.
Because the premise of this, for people who, the movie Toy Story.
Yeah.
If you've seen Toy Story.
You have.
Andy is a little boy and he gets a new toy, Buzz Lightyear.
Yep.
And it's because he's seen the movie Lightyear.
Mm-hmm.
The premise of this movie is that this is the movie that he'd seen.
Or is it? I want to talk about that.
Okay. Now, your son,
yeah,
you saw this with your son, who, according to my calculations, is somewhere between 3 and 25 years
of age. That's correct, yes.
So he's roughly...
He's in the prime age for something like this.
And he is roughly the same age that canonically I think Andy was when he saw this movie. Did your son like this movie?
He liked it, but he hasn't talked about it at all.
Was he like, I got to get a Buzz Lightyear?
Well, he's got a Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, well.
From a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
But he's just... I don't believe that this would inspire anything. I think it's obviously the opposite.
Yeah, right.
That this was made because the Toy Story movies are so good.
Yeah.
Obviously, because that's what actually happened. Yeah. But this is like...
I think this movie is pretty solid.
It's fine.
Like, it's solid, and I think maybe kids a little bit older than your son.
I don't know because...
Or is this like Tomorrowland, a movie that nobody...
that, I think it's more Tomorrowland, a movie for nobody.
For nobody.
Made by
the
adults.
The guy who made it. Yeah.
For nobody.
Yeah.
It just feels like...
So this is in the trailer, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a spoiler. So Buzz Lightyear and a team of...
Buzz Lightyears.
A team of Buzz Lightyears, They're in a big ship.
Yep.
And they get diverted. They're in a big ship. Everybody's all these colonists or just a
some kind of space exploration.
1,000 strong crew, like a space exploration ship. They're on their way to somewhere, and Buzz Lightyear is woken up by the computer because there's an interesting planet to be scoped out. And he and a small team go out to explore they land the ship and go to explore it, the planet, and they find the planet is actually quite hostile. There's all sorts of hostile flora and fauna.
Yep.
And so they attempt to escape, but in doing so, Buzz crashes the big colony ship and they're stranded there. And so through various attempts the hyperdrive is damaged.
Yep.
And so he's got to do various
hyperdrive tests.
They build a little settlement and they're like, and he's like, this is my fault and I'm gonna do a lot of hyperdrive tests. And due to relativistic time travel effects,
Which he didn't know about, apparently.
Which I guess, despite he's the rocket man. He's got all the science he doesn't understand.
It's true.
Due to all these time travel effects, every time he does a hyperspeed,
he does a rocket man.
He comes back, and the world has moved on years and years and years.
Yeah.
Until eventually, everyone he was friends with is dead.
Yes.
And robots have invaded. And there's only a ragtag team
of Buzz Lightyears,
of little Buzz Lightyears, and they've all got to team up and stop this robot invasion and fix everything. And it's a whole disaster. And it's just the thing about it is, I think, that it's a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
And Pixar movies traditionally are about something. You know, whether they're about, you know, giving up childish things or about what's another thing they could be about?
Having your house escape
and you've got to go back and get your house. You're never too old for adventure. And even if you've experienced some loss, there's more out there. And he should shut up. This old guy should shut up. He should get on his balloons and he should float far away. But they're about things. But presumably the movie that Andy watched in the cinemas wasn't about anything. It was because in 1995, the only people making animated movies that were about anything were Pixar.
Yeah.
Somebody else making this, it would just been a brainless, dumb kids action movie, right?
Well, I think...
So I guess my point here is when they've gone to make Lightyear, the movie that Andy saw, they've gone, well, we're Pixar and we make movies that are about things.
Mm.
We have to give layers of meaning and
See, I think they shouldn't have done that.
Well, but that's the thing. Yeah. But they have to. They can't. If they were just like, okay, this is because there's also that animated Buzz Lightyear show. It's Buzz Lightyear and Star Command or whatever, which I've not seen. But I presume that's just like he's off exploring and there's aliens
and whatever.
And then he has to do a big spaceship battle or whatever. And then that's the end of the episode. They're not about anything. But this they went, well, it has to be about.
Loss and grief and family.
Loss and grief and family whatever. And whatever.
Yeah.
Because otherwise people would be like, this wasn't very Pixar, but I kind of feel like maybe it should have just been.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's too complicated for kids, but also not complicated enough for adults. Like in for what it's like, it's not Interstellar. It's like you mentioned, it's like Interstellar Light. And then they try to wedge in this like, oh, I'm alone and all my family and I'm sad. And it's like,
remember when we were 10 years old and we went to see Interstellar, James? We bought our our Matthew McConaughey action figures.
Well, that's when I saw like the movie Contact. I was a kid and I'm like, what is this?
I thought Contact was the stuff you put you wrap your school books in.
Yeah, or your signed picture of the Pope or whatever. Yeah, so I just felt like it tried to do all of those things and it's like, oh, he's alone and time's moving on and whatever. But, like, this is the movie that inspired the Buzz Lightyear action figures and whatever. But Matt, who edits a bunch of videos for us, Mason, he has a theory and you could look at it on his Twitter and presumably also.
At Resdolph.
Yes, and what's the other thing? The TikTok, right, is that this isn't. This isn't the movie from 1995. This is the live-action remake of the 2D animated series.
I see.
Like The Lion King was remade. This is the remake of that.
And they had, and because it came out in 2022, this is the layers of meaning they've added to it. Right.
So there's a movie called Buzz Lightyear Star Command, which I think went straight to DVD VHS, which had Tim Allen voice it.
Yeah.
And it looks like all the bed sheets and all of the
artwork. Yeah, and it's cel-shaded as well, right?
Yeah, no, it's just 2D.
Right, okay.
So, and the idea was that then would be that like that was a popular kids movie, which then became a spin-off animated series, like Aladdin got a spin-off and Hercules got a spin-off and Lion King got a spin-off series, didn't it? Well, that was more recently. And so so that's what happened there. And then they went, oh, you know what people love? Fucking Buzz Lightyear. Let's remake Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, right.
And then it's like, well, this isn't as good as the...
That's a great theory, except the movie does literally say... This is that.
I agree, but I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because also, like, the tech doesn't even make any sense. Like, they've got an autopilot where it's like you blow into it and it's kind of like a cassette or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But everything else, like, you could have made this aesthetic like an 80s or 90s, like, sci-fi adventure. Like, you could have made it in the vein of, like, Star Wars or, like, Lost in Space or Independence Day or something like that. But it doesn't look like any of that. There's no, like, you could have done a fun kind of... retro.
Oh, you could have added some fun, James.
Well, like a fun retro 80s or 90s, you know, sci-fi movie, but it's not.
Right, okay.
Like if you look at Toy Story as well, the movies, like the video game that they're playing in Toy Story 2 just looks like Buzz Lightyear normally looks like. It doesn't look like this. Nothing looks like this.
That's true, yes.
So I just don't, I don't know why they
So you're saying this should have been in the style of 80s animation?
No, I think it should have been in the style of like, like a Back to the Future or whatever, like that kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, right.
And it's not. It's just like whatever a modern Pixar animated movie looks like.
Yeah, I think some of the tech we see in the movie, like a lot of it is like big tape cartridges and things like that.
Like one thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think like it could have been a cool throwback.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What did you think of it as a movie itself?
It's whatever, to be honest. Like I just think this is a guy, and you see this in the TV show as well, the animated stuff, where all his mates are like aliens and he's doing intergalactic adventures and there's like, you know, he's a space cop and whatever. He's like a Green Lantern dude.
Yeah.
And whereas this is like his mates are just like three normal people. And it's like, that's not fun.
Right.
He's got like alien buddies and stuff. And he's jetting through space. And this is just like, he's stuck on one planet with like vines and stuff.
Maroon...
This is like Buzz Lightyear origin. It's like, okay, fine, I guess.
The choice to make him marooned on one planet, I think is very odd.
Mm.
It's just, and I kind of liked it. I didn't feel like my time was wasted in the cinema, but I was like, this is quite dreary.
Yeah.
This dreary planet. And it's just... The world keeps passing him by and he's just, but I mean, I guess to him, like, you know, it's maybe just a week or something like that, but he's seeing all the people he knows and the people he went to Stark Ranger, Space Ranger cadet school or whatever, getting old and getting married and having children. And he's just like, this guy doing this job, and he's sad because he marooned everybody there.
Yeah, because he needs to learn a lesson about helping, like working with other people, yeah. and whatever.
James, we've had a lot to say about the Star Wars prequels.
Yes.
But in, you know, episode 3, the opener is just this enormous space battle and people jumping between starships and that, like, give us that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Just a fun, silly thing. And
the opening of Toy Story 2 where Buzz Lightyear is in a video game. I don't know if you've ever seen this. You may have. And he's breaking into Zurg's fortress. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible cold open. It's amazing. Like, you should, if you haven't watched it, you should watch it after this. Not
while
you're driving
home. I feel I've seen all the
Toy Story
movies.
It's so fun. And I feel like that's what this should have been.
Yeah.
It's not fun. He's not. And then he's like, I found my wings, I found my laser and whatever. It's like, okay, great. Did you?
Yeah, it's the orange. They've absolutely gone to. I didn't think they would stoop to like.
It's just on his suit.
How do you think he got his jetpack? Well, we'll find out.
It's on his suit. He just has it. Like, because also, like, the toy doesn't match that. It's like built in. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, by the end, you know.
Yeah, I know, but like, he gets rid of it. He has it for a bit and then he gets. Oh, does he have it at the very end?
Yeah, they all have it at the very end.
Is there a spoiler? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right, I guess.
That's the first thing I'll explain.
And like
to you
the ship that he has at the end is the one from that he's packaged in and whatever. I know there are attempts to like tie it in, but
also interesting that because animation from that era didn't have an elaborate long origin story.
Exactly. Like, yeah, he just has it.
The Thundercats. Well, the Thundercats kind of had one, but like the thing that I thought of was like Silverhawks or one of those ones. There's not. If any, you know, maybe there's a 20-minute first episode where they explain some stuff, but all that stuff. It's most of it is just like, hey, they're just a space. Like, what's that one? They're all not Brave Star, but they were all like
with the standy uppy horse.
No, that's Brave Star. There was one. They were like space cops, and they were like cowboy
cops. Exactly what you mean.
And they all had different powers, but there was no origin for them. It's just like they're space cops.
Yeah,
we don't. Nobody back in 1995 was like, we need a really long, elaborate. Children need a really long, elaborate story as to how this character started out and now is a toy.
Yeah, exactly.
They started as a toy and then they went on an adventure and then remained the toy.
Yeah, that's right. And look, I think also it's not even. It's called. I found the show. I found a picture of it.
Star Boys.
Adventures of the Galactic Rangers.
Galactic Rangers. There we go.
Yeah. Look, what I don't have a problem with is any of the cast. I think it's totally okay to recast Chris Evans because you could say like Tim Allen voices the toys because they don't always get the star of the movie to voice the toys. I think all the like, you know, Taika Waititi's in it. Like Chris Evans is good. Whoever does the cat and these mates and whatever, they're all fine. And I don't have a problem with recasting Buzz Lightyear because they're always recasting Buzz Lightyear. Patrick Warburton, he's been him in the animated series. Uh-huh. Like there's been other shorts that have been voiced by other people as well. It's just this is a newer version of Buzz Lightyear and it's Chris Evans. I got a quote here from the director who says, Tim's version of Buzz Lightyear is a little goofier and a little dumber. So he's the comic relief. In this film, Buzz is the action hero. He's serious and ambitious and funny, but not in a goofy way that would undercut the drama. Chris Evans has the gravitas and that movie star quality that our character needs to separate him and the movie from Tim's version of the story in Toy Story. See, I don't have a problem with any of that.
Right.
It's like, because the kids, you know, there was like Terminator 2 action figures and
sure
shit.
Sure was,
you know,
yeah.
And they were nothing like the movie, but I feel like, and it's easy to say, like, why didn't you make Star Wars? But, like,
just imagine a Terminator 2 action figure playset, right? And it's that security guard at the mental institution. You set him on the checkerboard floor, and then you push a button, and an identical version of him pops up and stabs him through the eye.
I love that.
Stabbing through the eye
Stabbing
action.
Stabbing through the eye action. But, yeah, like, again, like, not that it's easy to be like, just make Star Wars, but I think a Star Wars style adventure would have been a movie that a kid would have fallen in love with.
Yeah.
No kid is falling in love with this.
I mean, remains to be seen, but probably not, honestly. And also, I think maybe he could have just been dumb Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah,
why
totally.
Not? Because in the, like, he has a, I guess the learning experience he has in this movie is he wants to be, he doesn't like rookies and he doesn't want to, he thinks other people drag him down.
Mm.
And eventually he learns to work with people. But I don't like working with, I don't like working with rookies. Well, you like working with me? I guess so. I don't want to work with you guys. Well, you have to. Okay, I guess I will.
I think it would have been interesting if he was like a blowhard.
Yes,
and,
right.
And he didn't want to work with people. And then he's like, I'm an idiot. I need...
And Chris Evans can be the blowhard.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen
from
him do
Not
it.
Another Teen movie.
From Knives Out.
Knives Out.
He's a big blowhard.
Knives Out 1, as we call it now.
Yes, one Knives Out, please. Yeah, I just think it kind of... I mean, it does go places, but it literally doesn't, like, go anywhere. Like it's just kind of that one planet. It feels very self-contained in, like, a claustrophobic way.
Yeah.
There's no big kind of space, like, epic adventure. Like, they work in things like Zerg and, like, other... And he says a bunch of the lines, and I don't have a problem with that because it's he's an action figure, right? But it just feels really small.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah, and serious for... For no, it's not very funny at all, really.
True,
is it?
Yes.
I like the cat was like, you know, it had its moments, and I liked the cat, but just whatever's, man.
Yeah.
We'll do a little bit of spoilers. I am going to say worst movie ever. I think it completely like missed the mark on what this should have been. Technically, it's great.
Yeah.
Like the voice cast is all very good. You know, it's Disney's first gay character again.
Sure. Yeah. Great. Congratulations to Disney. You've done it again.
Yeah.
Really breaking new ground.
Yeah. But just make him gay. Make Buzz Lightyear gay.
Yeah, great, sure.
That would have been fine. He doesn't, you know, is he with Jesse? It's a toy. It's different. It doesn't matter.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
The toy is canonically not gay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I am going to say worst movie ever. I just think it's just not.
Man.
Not.
I might give out very rare for me, I think, just a movie.
You can't do it, Mason. It's one or the other.
Oh, have we done that? You've given out just a movie.
I think, did I?
Yeah.
To Batman, I think.
Oh.
Someone did I? No, I gave Batman a best movie ever. Batman v Superman.
Hmm.
You don't have to commit to anything.
No, I simply must commit. Because it's the thing.
I think if you're umming and ahhing, it's probably best, right?
No, I was going to say if I'm umming and ahhing, it's probably worst.
Would you?
I've not seen it.
Do you
again,
think you would have liked this as a kid?
Maybe, but if I didn't have the context of Toy Story.
Mm.
I think I maybe would have liked it if it was completely unattached to anything.
Okay.
But I think if I, like you said, I think if I'd seen Toy Story and loved that and then they immediately went to this, I'd be impressed technically, but I think I'd be like, oh, this is okay.
I thought
this would be more fun.
I think if it was unattached, if this was an entirely new property, it would be confusing. It'd be like, why is this all happening?
That's true.
Why is he doing these things?
Look, I'm going to go with worst movie ever. I'm not going to say, I was not thrilled and I'm never going to watch it again, I don't think.
Okay,
so,
there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, spoilers for this movie, I guess. What was the thing I was going to explain? At the end of the movie, they all get new, all the heroes get new Space Ranger suits.
Okay.
And they have the laser and the wing pack built in.
Is it the same? Because is it part of the suit as in like the same color scheme?
Yeah, it's the part of the suit.
Okay. But I mean like, because you know it's got like, it's an ejector seat suit. That's where he first gets it.
Yes, but in this it's built into the backpack.
And it's like a prop, it's like the proper colors.
Yeah, they look
suit.
More like the toy.
Okay, great. Yeah, yeah. Well, then I apologize.
You should.
They got it right.
They did get it right.
showing how he got his wings.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so in the Toy Story show, movies as well, the toy Zerg is... Buzz Lightyear's dad.
Okay, right.
And that's why when he pops out, he thinks it's his father.
Okay,
but it's actually
right.
Old Buzz Lightyear from the future.
Yes.
They've lost in spaced it. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, of course I've seen it.
But so the villain Zurg is actually old Buzz Lightyear. And I, okay, is he?
Yeah,
is he?
He sure is, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with changing the lore behind Zurg because it's just the toys are all insane. They're all like, they don't know where they are, what reality
they're
in.
That's true, yeah.
They're all...
Maybe they misread the back of the box they were in. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, and I just thought that's okay, I guess. That's the movie you've made.
So the premise is that he...
You could just not put Zurg in it also. Make it a different threat if you, you know, I don't know.
No, but they couldn't because Zurg is an established part of...
Oh, yeah, that's so true, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So this version of Buzz Lightyear didn't want to be... Wanted to keep doing hyperspace tests... But then hyperspaced himself into the far future where
the future away.
The future, and he found some alien technology, some super high-tech alien technology, and then he decided that what he's going to do is he's going to use the hyperspace fuel to go back in time and reverse what happened initially on the crashed planet so that he can just be a cool young space ranger again and just erase everything. But then present-day Buzz Lightyear is like, no, because if you do that, you'll erase – you know,
the lives of people,
all the lives of the people and families and what have you, and my new friends.
Yeah.
And he's like, can't do that.
And when he was like, I'm going to fix this, I was like, if you want. Like, I don't care. You can fix it if you want or don't. Right, it doesn't matter to me.
In the grand scheme of the cosmos, it doesn't matter whether you reverse time here or don't, really, you know?
Yeah, I just because I think one of these things
that should be the moral quandary you present to children. I mean, sure, you'd erase these people on this world, but
do you care?
And perhaps you would also, you know, perhaps if I went back in time and erased these people, I could go in Space Ranger and stop a war that killed billions. What about that, children? Now you have to choose. And there's the little dial on everybody's seat, and all the kids have to decide.
Oh, I'd love that. Mm. Yeah. And it just, the screen goes black and the text just says, you killed Buzz Lightyear. <The movie ends>.
You killed Buzz Lightyear and all his little toy friends.
It's just that whatever you choose.
Yeah.
You've killed Buzz Lightyear. I didn't think.
It's the Dark Souls death. You know, the little death scroll that just says you died.
Except yeah.
It says you killed Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, that's right.
Boom.
You know, like, I really liked Luca. And I really liked, like, turning red. Like, I feel like I felt something in those.
I thought you were describing characters from this movie, but
I thought those were, like, and they were, and Luke is a very basic story. It's about a
fish boy.
Get it? Yeah, two fish boys who want to win a bike race, but it's really about, it's about sexuality.
What's that kid going to run a bloody bike race if he's got fish
boy? When he's out, he doesn't have fish boy when he's out. Yeah. Have you seen it?
No.
It's really fun. And I didn't get any of that from this. Like, I think it should have really, again, leaned into that early, like, the 80s, 90s sci-fi.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you put your message in it, but it doesn't have to be so obvious that I'm alone and I'm afraid and I've look at all my mistakes and my past has come back to haunt me or my future has or whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Grim.
I didn't get, I think that could work, but I didn't care about any of that either. Mm. So,
well, James, it's okay because the next one there'll be Space Ranger Adventures where he wears the Space Ranger suit and he's got the laser and the jetpack.
So
we have to do is wait 4 years and there'll be another one. So,
wow, I can't wait. Anyways, I think this will probably do well initially, but I don't know. I don't know how people are actually going to respond to this.
Mm.
It might be just us. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, no, Levin's hated it, didn't he?
Our friend Andrew
What did he
Levin's?
Say about it?
The same kind of vibe. It was like, I can't imagine how a kid would want to buy the toys after this or something. Let's have a look. Lightyear's premise that it's a movie from 1995 that a 10-year-old loved is impossible given that it's a slow, dull, nothing movie that at no point portrays Buzz as a hero that any sane kid would want the toy of.
Okay. Yeah, that's not inaccurate.
Mm. Mm. There you have it, eh?
There you have it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm excited for 4 years' time.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Or they could fast track it.
No, I just mean in general. Imagine 4 years from now.
Oh, my God.
Incredible. I think it's going
to
be really fun.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the Pi technology in 4 years from now?
I don't think they're going to.
No, it'll be the
same. It's like going to Mars. We're not really doing it.
If anything.
We're talking about it. We're not doing it,
Mason. If anything, pies in the future will probably be worse because they'll be like, we're making a low-carb pie crust that tastes just as good. And you're like, no, you aren't. This is worse. It's so bad. I hate this. I hate this.
Low carb pie.
And we made the meat out of bugs.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a bug pie, wouldn't it? Mm. You guys like bugs, don't you? No. Nobody likes bugs. Nobody wants to eat bugs.
I wouldn't mind bugs.
What are you going to eat?
Like a bug burger patty, I think would probably be pretty good.
I don't think you would like that.
I'm going to give it a whirl.
If you could eat that or a regular burger, what
regular
would you
Regular burger
eat?
Every
yeah, exactly.
time.
Exactly. I wouldn't try that on the menu.
Oh, what I would do. If I went to a place,
I'd eat like a substitute, like a fake meat or whatever.
What I would do is I would if we were going to the pub and they had a bug burger and a regular burger, I'd order both, and then I'd try the bug burger and be like, "This is actually not bad." And then I would have the regular burger and go, "Oh my God, incredible!
Yeah,
I love this."
This one was just bugs.
Yeah, this was now that I think about it, what you've done there is you've made a patty out of bugs.
What kind of bugs though? You know, it's like there isn't a lot of meat on bugs, is there?
Yeah, but they mush it.
Yeah, I don't
look.
Like
I don't
that.
Know what the process is. All right.
Yeah. It just seems like you're.
And I don't want to know.
It just seems like you're actually for this. And I don't think it's.
Oh, the dystopian future where we all have to wear
I don't
bugs.
Think it's right.
Oh, yeah. It's not. No, for
yeah.
sure.
Anyways, let's move it along.
Okay. Side note, Alexi does not think there is a movie that was not a musical that has a sequel that is a musical. So
perfect. Thank you, Alexi.
And Alexi is pretty much the. Like, he's the guy we know
yeah.
knows the most about movies.
That's right.
By that, knows anything because we don't know anything. But
for a normal person, we know too much.
Exactly right. Yeah. We're right in the wrong sweet spot. We're in the sour spot of movies.
All right, Jude, what's time for?
It's time for what we're reading.
What are we going to read?
What are we going to read, yeah.
I'm doing the thing.
What are you doing there? Doing a little dance.
Westworld.
Oh, that's the Westworld dance. That's terrific.
This fucking thing's on loop. What are you up to, Mason?
Tell you what, James. Yeah. A bit of sad news. Oh. An actor did pass away this week.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Philip Baker Hall. You probably don't know the name. I'll show you a photo.
Please do.
But he's sort of an older actor who's 90 years old. He's got a certain gravitas and bags under his eyes. And he's sort of very. He's a character actor, and he's been in.
He's the librarian in Seinfeld.
Well, I was going to say he's been in Boogie Nights. He was in Magnolia. He was in Argo. He was in Zodiac.
He was in Zodiac.
Yeah, he was in The Talented Mr. Ripley. But yeah, he's probably best known to us as Mr. Bookman, who is the New York Public Library's in-house detective in an episode of Seinfeld in which he is pursuing Jerry because Jerry apparently took out a book in the early 70s and never returned it. So he's been tracking him down.
Yeah.
And Jerry's concerned that like the overdue fines on the book are going to be like $50,000. And there's if you look up his name on Twitter this week, you will absolutely find the scene where he confronts Jerry in his apartment and gives him a big like rant about how it's not the money, it's the principle of like you took the book out and so kids can't see what they need to see in this book.
And now he's a pervert.
Yeah, and he's a pervert. He's like, listen up, Joy Boy. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know how many takes they needed, but the one that went to air, it's just Jerry trying not to laugh. This entire time. Anyway, he's great. But he, as a character actor, he didn't get a lot of leads, but he's in Paul Thomas Anderson's first movie. He's the lead.
Is he?
It's called Heart 8.
Okay.
It's on Stan if you're in Australia. But it's he plays like a... like an older gambler, and he's got kind of a checkered past, and he meets this down on his luck gambler outside Nevada, by John C. Reilly, and he like takes him under his wing, and he kind of like here's how you gamble, and here's how you do it right, kind of thing. And there's some drama, but it's him and John C. Reilly, and Gwyneth Paltrow's in it, and Samuel L. Jackson's in it.
Oh wow, I've never heard of this. Right? I'm gonna watch this.
Yeah, give it a whirl. It's from the 90s. It's
great. So Buzz Lightyear's from the 90s.
I know, right?
Missed opportunity. It's not this movie.
It's really good. That being said, I recently watched a movie I mentioned on here called The Card Counter. It's a Paul Schrader movie. It's got Oscar Isaac in it. Very similar plots.
Oh, really?
Fascinating how close they are.
It's a coincidence.
It's probably a coincidence.
Great.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm reading?
What are you reading?
I read Batman Fortress. I talked about it last week.
Oh, Batman's got a lot of computers.
Gary Witter and Derek Robertson. So there's a global blackout, and they think it's Batman thinks it might be aliens, but he can't tell because everything's out.
Okay,
so Superman's disappeared.
Ooh.
So it's like what's going on, and it's Batman trying to figure it out. I don't think it's set in any kind of regular continuity. It's Batman kind of, and a lot of the characters have a very distinct voice. It's like.
Could be said anyway. It's a standalone,
which is what I like as well. I like it when like it's all Batman obviously, but there's a few things where you're like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I get ya. There's like a line about like he says something to Jim Gordon, "Are we friends?" Like Jim Gordon says, "Are we friends?" And Batman's like, "I guess we're friends in the sense that we're two people who don't trust each other, and like when one of us is wearing a mask or something like that." It's good. It's only one issue at the moment. The next one's out like end of this month. But
do you think
it.
Jim Gordon then went home and went, "Oh, I thought we were friends.
Yeah. Maybe I should wear a mask. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Is that what's
happening? Maybe we could be mask friends."
Yeah. If you like Batman, I think it's interesting.
I do like Batman.
To give it a look, see.
In a lot of ways, that's the entire premise of this show.
Agreed.
We like Batman and Batman related characters, and Buzz Lightyear and Buzz Lightyear related characters.
That is right. Mm-hmm. What are you? What else have you been up to? You watched some more Ms. Marvel, I assume.
No, I'm behind.
They made a mistake releasing that at the same time as Obi-Wan because it's the lowest debut of a Marvel Disney Plus show.
Oh, because they come out same day,
right? Yeah, same day. I watched Obi-Wan on Wednesday and I forgot that it came out. And then I was like, oh, what am I going to do now?
I wonder if they were
I'm like, oh, shit, Ms. Marvel's out.
I wonder if they were banking on people going, oh, I watched one, now I'll watch the other.
But to do that, it would have to like play immediately
it
after.
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And it doesn't.
It should. I mean, yeah. the algorithm should go... You like this crap? Have some more crap.
You like crap?
Let's shovel some more crap in you.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good. I like it.
I'm behind on The Boys. I'm behind on Obi-Wan. I'm behind on Ms. Marvel.
You're going to have to catch up because we're going to do our Obi-Wan review this week, Mason.
I'll be done by then, yes.
Okay, good.
Okay, great. Terrific. Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
People have some hot opinions about Obi-Wan, and I have just a regular opinion, I think.
Of it,
you know?
Have you considered raising the temp of your opinion to hot?
Maybe see if I could drudge up something.
Terrific.
You know?
Sure, yeah, great.
Anything else you've been looking into?
I think that's about everything this week.
I love the way that you bring ideas. And also letters theme songs. I love the two things
that
you do.
I'm not going to bring any ideas currently, okay, but I'm going to bring the letters theme songs.
That's so okay, man. That's cool.
Here it goes. The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. We're going to hear right now. We're going to do letters. What you're bringing this episode, James, is great for the listeners.
Yep.
A series of funny little faces and funny little dances.
It's true.
Little cheeky, I would say cheeky faces.
Yes, that's right.
You're like, ooh, I'm a bad little boy.
That's me.
You know?
Mason.
Can you believe what I'm doing? A little dance?
Is it true, Mason?
Go on.
That in the letter segment of the show,
you
read through our Gmails at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com and I look at Twitter at hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
That's true.
And then we converse with the things that people have sent our way.
Mm.
Is that true?
That is very true.
What do you got this week?
This is from Aaron.
Hello, Aaron.
Pennsylvania regional dispute, because, you know, sometimes we settle regional dispute. And you're going to love this one.
Okay.
And I think there's a clear answer on this one, and you'll know why as soon as I get to
it. Is it a bug thing?
No, it's not a bug thing. Hey, guys, my name's AJ.
Hello.
Aaron. And I'm
Which is it? Is this the dispute?
This is the dispute. Hey, I'm from Pennsylvania in the US. A few years ago, I moved to Ireland, and I want to say thank you for making my hour and a half commutes to work in Dublin a bit more bearable. They sound like they'd be lovely.
I think
a little commute.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Wait, I assume that's for the day, right? Not either way.
It says an hour and a half commutes to work. So
that's a long. How's he get home?
I don't know. I'm hoping you know what? A long trip on like a train or something, that's nice, I think.
Yeah, you can sit back and.
Yeah. An hour and a half driving, no good.
Nah, sucks.
Back home in Pennsylvania, we have a passionate regional dispute that you could lay to rest. We make a dessert that looks like a sandwich consisting of two buns, usually made out of chocolate cake batter with frosting in between. Now,
So it's cake with frosting.
Yeah.
Turn it inside out.
Turn it inside out. Okay, but James, here's the thing.
Okay.
Some of us, like my misguided friend Tyler, call them gobs.
Okay.
Some of us call them gobs, but some, like my misguided friend Tyler, call them whoopie pies. If we could all come to an agreement on this, it would truly unite all Pennsylvanians for all time.
These look amazing, by the way.
Right?
Have you seen these?
No, I have not seen them.
Look at this.
Oh, yeah. We get something like that in Australia.
Yeah. God damn. Yeah. It's like a big cookie kind of.
Yeah. But you don't want to call anything a gob.
No. What's the other name?
Whoopie pie. I mean, that's not great.
I've heard that before, yeah. I'm sure.
In Australia, gob means something entirely different.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Yeah, you can't say that. You can't go into a shop and ask for a gob.
Well, it depends on the shop. If it's a shop that specializes in that, you could probably ask. It says there is no difference between a gob and a whoopie pie.
Wow.
Different regions simply refer to them by different names. In fact, several different states. No, you can't call them a gob, I'm sorry.
No. If you could come up with a third option that is better.
Yeah, whoopie pie is terrible. That's
really
terrible,
bad, yeah.
It implies that you'd sit on it.
Yeah, like
which
a
is a whole other genre.
Oh,
of
is it because it looks like a whoopie cushion?
I guess.
Okay. Interesting.
Why is it called a whoopie
pie? Oh my goodness.
The name originated from the Amish men who, when they found these treats in their lunchboxes, would exclaim, whoopie.
Wow.
That's made up, right?
Yeah, it seems made up, doesn't it?
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. It's also alternatively called a black moon.
I like that.
Or a bob. Or a BFO, a big fat Oreo.
I like the black, was it black moon, did you say?
Yeah.
I like that one. We're calling it that.
All right, done and done. There we go. Mason, I've got a tweet here from Jack who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. A good topic for the podcast is scariest movie and TV villains. For example, the scariest villain for me is Homelander. He is terrifying. That's a good idea. It wouldn't have to be like a horror movie icon either. It could just be like, that's a spooky guy.
Yeah.
I would pick Mr. Boogity.
What about Bureaucracy? That's scary, isn't
it? Isn't it? Mm. You're talking about the what's that movie where Matt Damon's putting on hats and running through doorways?
Oh, the Adjustment Bureau.
Yes.
Yes,
that Bureaucracy?
That's probably Bureaucracy or Time or something.
That's a great idea, Jack, and maybe we'll come back to that at some point. I love that suggestion.
That's right. This is from Danan.
Danan.
He says, I made a movie for James and Meso if he wants it.
Wow.
Hello.
You assume that I want it?
Yeah.
I made a movie for James. He'll like this.
You love all movies. You've said that before.
That's true. I loved everything.
Been a fan for a long time and finally worked up the courage to write in. I recently finished my Avatar The Last Airbender fan film about Toph.
Ah.
I assume that's a character that you were familiar with, James.
Yep.
And wanted to ask if you guys have any favorite fan films that come to mind. Anyways, thanks for everything you guys do. I linked the film here in case you guys wanted to take a look. So, folks, https://youtube.be/p_G(G)5ss(i)E.
Is it a YouTube link? Or is
yes.
It can you click on the link? Is it live action or is it?
I'm going to click it right now.
Or is it
I'm clicking it right
animations?
Now, I'm clicking it right now. It's got 1 million views.
Whoa.
It doesn't need us.
Nah.
Yeah. Toph and Avatar fan film.
T-O-P-H. Yeah, they announced this week that they're
live action.
Does it?
All sorts of stuff's
happening. They announced this week that, yeah, they're making it's got 89,000 likes. Wow, that's incredible. Oh, yeah, she's the blind girl who does the – yeah, that's cool, man. I'd forgotten which character that was. So, this is they announced 3 new animated films coming from that.
Oh, my goodness.
As well. Yeah, well, this has got heaps of traction. Good for him, man. That's great. Some Jeremy H. Prow. Oh, fan film, sorry.
Yes, yes.
I love a Star Wars fan film, good or bad. I know a lot of people said, like, you know this stuff in Obi-Wan, it just looks like a fan film. I've seen some of these Darth Vader fan films, and let me tell you, they're not maybe what you think they are.
Do you like a Star Wars fan film where everybody's gone absolutely ham with those lightsabers?
No, I don't.
Or you prefer a slow, contemplative one?
I think there's definitely something to be said of that, and there's some really good ones. For example, there's one called Darth Maul Apprentice, which I quite like. There's one I've talked about before where there's a guy trapped on a whatever. No, it's a rebel who's been left behind on Hoth.
Mm.
And it uses like stop motion and stuff in it, which is quite cool. Yeah, there's a bunch of them that I do enjoy. What about you? Do you like a Batman versus Predator fan film or something like that?
Yes, yeah. That fan film, I can't remember what it's called, but there's that one where he's hunting the Joker and then it turns out
it's the Predator.
The Predator is there.
Yes.
That one looks incredible. And I feel the arrival of the Predator kind of lets it down.
Kind of ruins it, yeah.
Is it the aliens and the Predator?
I think it is aliens and Predators, yeah.
Like from a production standpoint and like lighting and all that sort of stuff, I remember that looking incredible.
Yeah.
And then being like, oh,
and the suit. I remember the suit.
The suit looks really good. And I'm like, and he was like a big.
He's a big Batman.
Like a big wide Batman. Like imagine like Adam West Batman, but like. Not like ripped.
And that
looked really. But I feel like I remember watching that and going, oh, this is great. And then it was sort of undercut by the aliens and Predator thing. I think if it was just Batman fighting the Joker. One I think we've maybe mentioned before is Minty, which is the Judge Dredd.
Oh, I like Minty
fan
a lot,
film,
yeah.
Which is about a former judge, Minty,
yes.
Who is taking the long walk into the cursed earth.
I like that
one
a
really
lot.
Really good, yeah.
There's one that I like, which is just two people going ham on each other. It's Darth Vader.
It's a porno.
It's Darth Vader versus Batman or something.
Oh, you like that one.
Well, that one's just insane. And I like how insane that one is, yeah. So like, I didn't say I don't mind people going ham on each other in certain things. I should specify. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got one here, Mason. It's from Jeremy H. Prow, 87. He says, my daughter calls you the Lettuce Boys. Because on the Lettuce theme play, she thought you said lettuce. She knows it's letters now but doesn't care. Neither do I. Just thought you should know. Love the show. Keep up the Lettuce Boys.
We are saying lettuce.
Yes, that's right. She was right.
The vegetable. We are saying that.
There's a big lettuce shortage in Australia.
There's a lettuce shortage in Australia.
They're putting cabbage in our KFC wraps and people aren't having it.
I'll be honest. Couldn't tell you what the difference is.
I mean, why would just put nothing in?
Just put nothing in.
People don't want it.
Put spinach in. I'd rather spinach, quite frankly.
Or nothing. Whenever we go to a KFC or a Red Rooster, you get the lettuce taken out anyway, don't you?
But if they gave me a spinach option, I would take the spinach.
Interesting.
Yeah, but they
ooh.
Very interesting, right?
Ooh.
I'm very interesting.
That's the most
look how interesting I am.
You're very interesting.
I'm very
I bet the people who make it think you're interesting as well.
That's why I do it. Like, what's the most interesting thing a man has ever done
in this
KFC or Red Rooster?
The thing.
Yeah, yeah. Is it not ordering, taking the lettuce out? And they're like, sure, man.
Yeah, that's super
interesting. You're very interesting. Yeah. And I'm like, thank you.
We love how interesting you are.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Here's one more email.
I love one more email.
It's from Ethan.
Hi, Ethan.
My name's Ethan, and I'm a paleontologist from Utah.
Oh, my God. We recently talked about Jurassic Park Dominion World.
Probably why he's emailed in.
Well, let's find out. Let's not jump ahead.
Okay. I just listened to all your Jurassic Park Caravan of Garbages and your Jurassic World Dominion review.
Just stop you there. This is about the Jurassic World Dominion. That's why he's writing.
Confirmed.
It. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't say specific. He just says, I have listened to all of them. But he doesn't say specifically, and then, and as a result of that, I decided to do that. That's faulty reasoning on your behalf.
Okay, Jack. You're right. Let's play. Yes. Yeah.
I had a great time listening to you guys bash and break down the only consistently running dinosaur series.
Yep.
I just wish we had more out there. I love Jurassic stuff as much as anyone. I even helped design the Bartlett Big Rock Allosaurus.
Oh, I love that short.
There you go.
That one, you know, we watched that one. It's like the one set between the last two movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. It's the best Jurassic Park thing other than the first movie.
There it is.
Yeah.
But I wish dinosaurs were taken seriously in pop culture again. If you want a fantastic dinosaur series to take a look at that shows accurate dinosaurs in their own environment,
Plus, right?
Check out Prehistoric Planet on Apple TV+.
I know. I got to get to it.
High-budget show produced by Jon Favreau with music by Hans Zimmer that shows how incredible and amazing dinosaurs were. Also, as a person who literally specializes in T-Rex, should have taken the Spinosaurus head clear off so you could see down the neck hole.
I knew it.
There you go.
Both of us knew it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I will watch that because I loved Walking with Dinosaurs when that came out.
I like should just dinos, say, if we got to the end of the email.
Oh, sorry.
And he didn't say, as a result of watching.
This is a coincidence.
This is a coincidence.
Could be a coincidence. Let's not even assume that.
It could be a coincidence. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I want to watch that with my son. The dinosaur one.
Terrific.
You know, because he's a person, because he's a child and that's all they like.
That's true.
And they like the Buzz Lightyear movies as they're watching them, but not beyond that point. Mm. Yeah.
To infinity, but not beyond that, all right?
Stop. To infinity there. And a certain point, I guess.
Mm, that's right.
Yeah. Is that the show?
That is the whole show, folks. Thank you
I
so
hate
much.
It's when the end of the show, Mason. I just wish this show could go forever.
Let's do it.
I've got people coming around. We have to wrap it up.
Yeah, we've got like 2 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast on your podcast platform of choice. Thank you for telling your friends about it. And thank you for leaving a nice 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice, because that is how we get new listeners. Also, the telling people about it.
Yeah, that's true. Both of those things. Yeah, you can tell people on a digital platform also. Some people might be like, what's your favorite podcast? And then you say this. Or some people might be like, hey, my Intel Pentium, whatever, I'm not sure. The screen's got one of those lines across it. Is there any way that you could perhaps, like, does anyone know how to fix that?
Weekly Planet Podcast.
That's right.
You could be in a Teams meeting on a Slack channel or something or a Zoom meeting.
Yep.
And they could be like, you seem really distracted. Your work seems to be suffering. It's like, because I'm listening to the Weekly Planet.
You're fired. And then you're like, cool, man, thanks.
Yeah, nice.
You could be at a big football match and you hold up a sign that says the Weekly Planet.
Yeah.
Some people are doing... Weekly Planet graffiti I saw.
Yeah, that's great.
For a good time, listen to the Weekly Planet podcast. Yeah. We don't condone that, but if it happens, it happens.
I condone it. you could be in a pub trying to convince the chef to make a pie, even though they don't normally make pies. You could be like, listen.
What about a shepherd's pie?
Would they make a shepherd's pie?
Yeah. Seems easier. You just put some potato on top.
Wow, that's a very ignorant statement. I bet there are some pub chefs out there. Just make a shepherd's pie.
Hey, man, if you were a real chef, you wouldn't be at a pub. I fucking got you.
Well...
That's not true. I love pub food. Good pub food is incredible, Mason, and I won't have you speak ill of it.
Yeah. You get a wonderful chicken parma. You get a side salad. You get a gob for dessert, you know? That's what you do.
That's right. And then you order a dessert.
Yes. Folks, we did it.
Anyway, I've got some reviews here. This is
nice.
From Gav135246. It's a fantastic podcast. This podcast helped me get through the lockdown in my city. It's absolutely hilarious. Also, I can't hear Tom Holland talk without thinking about Mason's Tom Holland voice. Thanks for ruining Spider-Man for me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this one's from Simon OH, who says, Australia Wikipedia Brown, another 5-star review. Just so easy, just an app. Australia, officially the Commonwealth of Australia, is a sovereign country comprising the mainland of Australian continent, the island of Tasmania, the numerous smaller islands. It is the largest country by area in Oceania and is the world's sixth largest country. Australia's population is nearly 26 million in an area of 7,617,930 square kilometres, and it's highly urbanised and heavily concentrated on the eastern seaboard. Canberra is the nation's capital. Boo, let me just say that. While the largest city is Sydney, and other major metropolitan areas include Melbourne, Brizzy, Perth, and Adelaide. Yep, that's true.
So true, bestie.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
What else happens on this show, Mason?
Folks, what we also do is we say, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. You can go find us at Weekly Planet Pod, at Facebook, at Twitter.
See if you can find us.
Bandcamp.
We bet you can't find us.
Well, you can't find us.
We also have Weekly Planet Shorts on YouTube now, true, short clips. We're also on TikTok.
There's a TikTok.
Well.
So thank you to Sarabi and all the folks.
Fidel, that's right.
You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Pod Reddit and Discord for fun chats about podcasting and pop culture. Let's see, if you want to support the show, you can go to you can follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Rob Collings on Twitter. He's also at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. That's all the updates, and he does all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah.
He has this podcast for one thing. That's the coolest thing.
He's going to do a backflip this week. I don't know if you saw. He's going to do a backflip. He's been working up to doing a backflip.
That's great.
And he's going to post a video of him doing a backflip this week.
That's incredible.
Cannot wait for that.
If anybody we knew could just be like, I've decided I'm going to work my way up to doing a backflip and just do a backflip, I feel it would be Rob Collings.
I watched a video this week of somebody working their way up to doing a backflip in a gym. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, I think I can do this. Well, I definitely can't, but it made me go, I think I could do this.
Wow.
But I can't, Mason.
You could never do it.
Rob Collings is going to do it, though.
He's going to do it, though. You can follow me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown, on Instagram at Nick Maso. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You can chuck in a buck or any amount you would not miss. You can also go to bigsandwich.co. If you're a big, big spender, you can spend $9 per month for all sorts of bonus podcasts and movie commentaries and so forth.
For example, this week we did Thor, God of Thunder
from 2013. We reviewed that and we'd had a bit of a discussion because, of course,
really fun,
it features Gore the God Butcher, who's going to be in the new Thor movie.
Yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed reading that and talking about
that.
Good one,
right? Yeah. It is a very good one. Mm. Who else can we thank, James? Well, if you want, you can go to tpublic.com.
I can.
Search for the Weekly Planet. You can buy a Weekly Planet T-shirt of any kind you wish. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rack and Perilla musical themes. Thank you to Alexi, who confirmed that, in fact, there is not a movie that was not a musical, but then their sequel was a musical. Listen to Alexi and Cam's podcast, Total Reboot. I listened to an episode on the way home from work last night. It's about Reservoir Dogs. They're doing a series about heist movies.
Didn't you say you didn't like it, though? You said, I don't like these podcasts.
Yeah, I said they're bad podcasts.
Okay, cool.
Just kidding. I think they're good and funny podcasts. They're funny boys. They're a very funny episode. People should check that out.
I will.
And that, I think, is the whole show next week. I think we're going to do something Star Trek related,
we
right?
We might. We
Maybe
might
have
a very
special guest.
It's me.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just going to be
You were saying for like last couple of weeks there was going to be a really special guest.
Yeah, it's me. What did you think I meant? It's me,
Mason.
You said
special guest. Special.
Special. It's me.
All right, grab that jam, folks. We'll see you next week.
It's me, Mason.
Oh, that's great, actually. I like that. It's always fun when you're around.
Thanks. And goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.